Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Debra and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Debra.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
Kelly, I'm disappointed in the San Fernando Valley today.
Why?
Don't smog.
Look at you and your weather. Are you kidding me?
It just sucks.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
I'm telling you, it's a different world when you drive out to Calabasas and beyond. It's a completely different world.
Really? Because it's so clear.
So much clearer. It's like you walk into it. It's like another universe.
But let me explain. You California people are like so particular. Spoiled. Like, I'm from the East Coast. I'm like, it's sunny. I could care less about anything else. I'm just happy. Like, it's warm. It's not cold. I can walk anytime. It's beautiful. So... Well, talk to me. How was your weekend?
And I'm just so excited because Tiffany's coming into town.
My daughter again?
I'm so excited. Yeah, because my niece's bridal shower that I'm throwing with her godmother and my other niece is this Saturday. That thing is like planning a wedding.
I know.
With name cards and this organization and that and do that and getting the menu. It's like, geez, I just planned a little mini wedding.
But you're good at that. I feel like people probably like ask you to do it because you're really good at that. Do you know what I mean? Like to help out and stuff, because I feel like I have
a good show, you know. I look like I'm doing
you play the part well.
You told me very exciting things today.
I'm freaking out. That's the bottom line. I'm freaking out. I'm taking the exam tomorrow. It's 4 hours. And I don't know what to say. I feel like I'm sleeping in a hotel today in Torrance.
Which one did you find?
Oh, I found this little Japanese boutique hotel. I'm it's kind of worth all like the anxiety and stress to like get a night away. I'm getting a massage at the hotel. I'm living it up. I'm living it up.
The opposite experience I had taking my exam.
It makes me so happy, your whole experience.
Mine was clubbing until 3:30 in the morning.
And then you passed. It's ridiculous.
I took it an hour and a half and just ripped through it. I didn't want to think about it. I just did not want to have any anxiety about it. So I went out with some friends. We went dancing. We had a couple drinks. We chit-chatted and I got up 6:30 the next morning and I was at the place and
bam.
We didn't find out right away though.
Right.
That was agonizing.
Yeah. You know? I'm trying to think what's worse because the other exam I had to take, I didn't find out for 6 weeks and there was some relief in that. It's like, all right, there's not much I can do. I got to wait. You know, I can kind of, you know, let it go. And this one, it's like, oh God. It's like, you know, once you hit that button,
that's
you're
it,
done.
Right? When you say done, then you get your score almost instantaneously.
Well, you have to answer like 10 survey questions. I'm like, are you
really
joking me? It's like, here you are taking this further. And it's like, was the facility clean? It's like, give me my results, you know? You have to answer like 10 questions.
That's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, well, it's a test to make sure that you have the patience to be a good therapist, right?
I already know that answer. No.
Okay, so let's talk about the show.
That was a great guest.
I've recommended her book everywhere. This was
fantastic.
Jancy Dunn, the author of How Not to Hate Your Husband After Having Kids.
Fantastic.
Hysterical.
She was great. Oh my God. I loved her. So yeah, the book is really fantastic. I mean, she basically combined research with personal stories about how to kind of cope with having kids and, you know, still loving your partner. But it's really well done in a funny but tasteful way. So
if you missed that show, take a listen. Yes. And I just loved how candid she was about it. Just basically expressing and exposing her life.
Oh my God.
She wasn't shy about anything.
Great. And then it was so funny in the middle of the interview. Like she was like, oh my God, I got to pick up my daughter. Like, and it was just like the perfect mom moment. It's like, we've all been there. It's like, yep, you know, this is life. Like you're in the middle of an interview and then you realize like, oh my God, you know, who's going to pick her up? My husband, me, what's going on? So I felt like it was really funny to experience that.
A perfect real life example.
Yes.
But we will not delay anymore because we have an in-studio guest today, which is always very, very exciting. Today we have, you do this one because.
Okay. I'm very excited.
Because I can't read right now for some reason.
So we have Andre Seltzer. He's a medical medium and he's been here before, but this is really cool because he's in person.
Yay.
And he is an internationally recognized medical intuitive and healing medium who specializes in frequency energy medicine and advanced medical intuition. Andre's approach is fun, educational, and quite unusual, as he focuses on the energy surrounding a problem rather than only the surface level appearance of the symptom. For the past 25 years, he has practiced in the United States and Europe collaboratively with healthcare professionals and alternative practitioners, helping to unravel the mysteries surrounding unusual health and spiritual phenomena. A native of Staffordshire, England, Andre has strong Celtic roots and a fantastic accent, if I might add.
Yes.
He travels extensively throughout the U.S. and Europe, dividing his time between workshops, lecture, research, and his healing practice based in Scottsdale, Arizona, where he works alongside groundbreaking practitioners. Through his work, Andre demonstrates how energy medicine can be applied in everyday life and how practicing prevention creates a healthier and ultimately a more cost-effective approach to wellness. In the U.S., he has been featured on NBC, CBS, Fox, and UPN. He's also the host of the popular radio show Talk with Andre on KWSS 93.9 FM, streaming worldwide at www.openmindradio.com. Welcome.
Wow, that's a lot of things.
Yes, that's so cool.
Well, you've accomplished a lot, and you are a lot, and you're just a beautiful person.
Yes.
I can feel that. You said about energy. Boy, I can just feel it's like electric
Me too.
In here.
Me too.
Well, I'm still hung up on the fact that you did your boards after a night drinking and having fun. That takes some doing, Deborah. That really does.
Is that amazing?
When I was a baby, I mean, I was really young. So, you know, you have more stamina at 25 or 27 right. than you do. I would not be able to do that now.
That's pretty amazing.
I know. It's cool.
So I think I'm doing what everybody does naturally. I've got very strong intuition. And mm-hmm. what has happened is the more you develop your intuition, all these other things seem to spur off from it. And one of the things I've noticed is that a lot of people in business, mm-hmm. people that are successful, they have this knowing or this sense before things happen. Mm-hmm. And I think what we're starting to see is that we're shutting down on this intuition. So what we're starting to get is less entrepreneurs, less people that have an instinct. Now, as therapists, you know, your instincts are really important, because if you have someone who's schizophrenic, for instance, or mm-hmm. you have someone who's serious illness in front of you, you have to be not just a therapist, you have to go beyond that mm-hmm. and really read the people and understand them. Mm-hmm. So I think my skills are kind of an extension of that. Mm-hmm. And I really want everybody to embrace their own intuition and understand mm-hmm. that don't just look at what's flat in front of you, see the world as being more round and in more layers.
So I love that, because I totally agree. But I guess my question is, how do you know? Sometimes, you know, you hear, you feel like, okay, that's my intuition. But other times it's like kind of like your will, yeah. sort of like. So how can you sort of tell what's maybe intuition versus what you really want or what you're trying to
get?
Great
question. Yeah.
I think partly intuition, the best way to know that intuition is real is it's not fantasy. So it's less about your imagination. It's sudden. It's almost spontaneous. You don't tend to think about it. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, the phone rings. You pick the phone up and you know it's John.
Yes.
But the phone rings and you wait a couple of minutes. Is that John?
Yeah.
Or is that Susie? Or is mm-hmm. that Karen? It might be John. So what uh-huh. tends to happen with intuition is it's instantaneous and really fast. This is why children, uh-huh. animals, cats, dogs have much stronger intuition. Uh-huh. They don't have all the filters that we've created
right.
in our lives.
But they're not as guarded. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. That makes complete sense, because I've noticed that over the past like couple weeks. Like, I'll meet somebody and I'll say their name before they say it or something random, but that's exactly how you describe it. It comes almost like, you know, a millisecond before they say it or something like that.
Well, in pregnancy, quite often when women are pregnant, uh-huh. in the early stages, their intuition becomes super heightened. So they start seeing things and seeing the truth mm-hmm. in everything around them. And intuition is basically, it's a truth seeker. So it actually looks for facts. So it's almost like it's our barometer to see what's real and what's not. So intuitive people tend to be a little bit coarse sometimes, because we're very direct.
Yes.
And we don't like the story as much as we like the facts. Mm-hmm. So that's, uh-huh. You'll see that a lot. And I find that one of the funniest things about people that are intuitive is that they quite often tend to put their foot in their mouth more often than the average person, because they say, oh God, I wish I never said that.
Uh-huh. Sure. Well, because, yeah, they're used to saying all that. That makes well, it's really funny about the facts, because my husband can tend to be like, kind of detailed, and I'm like, get to the point, you know, like I just want like the main, or he'll say to me like, you're not detailed enough, you're not like, I can't picture what you're saying. Sometimes I'll just sort of like say it all at once. So that's really funny.
I also find that I am more intuitive around intuitive people mm-hmm. than people who are closed off. Is that
Closed off people, they become a bit like a blockage. So mm-hmm. what tends to happen is, as you're talking to non-intuitive people, their negativity or their will not to see shuts you down. you tend to match it. You know, sometimes they say if you get a group of women together and in a room for about a couple of months, they tend to match the moods, their periods, and so on.
All that,
forth. It's the same if you live in a place where people are not intuitive or don't care at all. You find there's a lack of connection, and sooner or later you stop seeing things. And I think that in relationships where the other person is completely not into being intuitive, is not into excitement or looking at things in a different way, then you start to see the world in one particular fashion. And to me, that is the scariest thing of all, because it doesn't matter where you go, there's beauty and incredible things in everything. I mean, just look at this plant in the room here. And I know the smug out there, but hiding in that smug, there's these little mountains over there.
Exactly, it's so true.
You just can't see them today.
And I don't know if you saw it earlier on, but there was an eagle that flew over, or a hawk that flew over and circled around.
Oh, wow.
No way.
And I'm sitting here, and that's an intuitive thing. We're always looking at the details, always.
Oh, we have beautiful. A blue jay that comes by often, and we know that that's Kelly's grandmother. She comes by to say hello.
And I think it's the hawk, too. I think it's all the animals, pretty much.
They're just there for
Grandma
you.
Grandma saying
all
hi.
About you.
Yeah, no, but I do believe that. Yeah.
So Kelly told me before the show that you have a family member who was a Holocaust survivor. My father was a Holocaust survivor.
Yes, my grandfather.
Ah.
Unfortunately, I was very young when he passed away, but I just remember the look in his eyes, and I remember some of the things that he would say. And I think when you've had someone who's been a Holocaust survivor in your family line, it makes you want to do more. Mm-hmm. And I'm so driven to do different things. I do a lot of volunteer work. I help a lot of people as well as the work that I do every day. But I'm driven to do it. I feel like I need to do that before all the people that didn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that in the Native Americans as well, and other places, especially like in Kazakhstan and places where there's other Holocausts. And I think in Turkey and those areas, there's something about, there's a driving side of you that almost you want to carry on and do more because other people can't do more.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel that way?
I do.
Yeah. That would make sense.
I have to learn sometimes to slow down and not do too much because I can sometimes drive myself and push and push and push, but I totally understand what you're saying.
Well, after that little drinking session,
that's so funny.
I tell you, right up here with me.
I push that to the limit.
I know we've had you on before, but I'm curious if you can tell our listeners kind of how you got into this whole thing.
Well, it actually started when I was 7 years old, and it wasn't by choice. I'd always been an odd child, and I just didn't react like normal children. I was a little bit slower at learning, it seemed, a little bit slower at walking. And then once I got to like 4 years old, boom, everything started to switch on. But by the time I was 7, I was able to understand poetry, and I was at kindergarten, I would start talking about Socrates and Plato. and the reason was, at night, the spirits were coming through and telling me these things.
Wow.
I had no idea what I was talking about, but I was also dyslexic, and I've got Asperger's, so I have autism. So it was such a contradiction. They didn't know what to do with me.
Oh, my God.
I wasn't reading, so that wasn't getting it from the books. And I wasn't really associating because I had the Asperger's.
Wow.
My poor teachers. And then the moment they thought I was completely useless and wouldn't go anywhere. And all of a sudden I would start talking about Plato. And I said, well, you know, Socrates never wrote anything. He just didn't like to write. It was Plato that wrote everything. And the teacher looking at me, what?
Yeah.
No, looking for the textbooks to see what.
Wow.
But I think that that happens to a lot with children. Mm-hmm. But I think it switches off at a certain point. I think we don't just learn from books. We learn from experience, whether it's a spiritual experience or watching our parents. If you've ever sworn accidentally and your four-year-old has picked it up, you'll know what I mean.
Yes.
So I think our radar is different. My belief is that the brain is a lump of fat that's a very unique piece of equipment because it's a receiver. And although it contains a lot of information, it's always receiving messages, not just in the normal field, but in the quantum field.
Mm-hmm.
So that everything we interact with, a plant, a person, we pick up energy from that person and our brain processes it. So I think Stuart Hameroff, University of Arizona, who did the consciousness studies, has talked a lot about how the brain perceives things much more than we realize.
Mm-hmm.
So we often feel things before we actually see them or see it. There's a lot of precognition built into us. So I'm looking at it, I'm just going, wow, that sounds like what I do. But science, I think, is showing us that we are not as boring as we think we are, that our minds and our body and spirit are all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
And if we open ourselves up to more experiences, if we meditate more, if we dance, if we laugh, if we socialize more, we actually... We gain more. We gain more knowledge. We gain more health.
Sure.
Kyoto is a good example. In Kyoto, in Japan, people live over 100 years old. And I went there to see this, and it was really funny because you walk into this room with all these elderly people, over 100, and they're smoking and drinking sake. And I'm like, I walked in, I go, oh, no, you can't do that. And, right. And I realized you're 100 years old.
Right, exactly.
Just keep on doing it.
Yeah. And what do you think the secret is?
I think the community, they mm-hmm. every morning they get up and they do Tai Chi and they walk around. They drink a lot of sake. Maybe that's got something to do with it.
I'm sure. In.
Yeah, exactly.
But they social. They play cards and they play this game that I try to play. Mahjong is it? Mahjong or something?
Mahjong?
Oh, Mahjong. Mahjong. No, that's Chinese.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, it was something like that. But there's all these things. I'm uh-huh. like, I can't play that game. I tried. Oh, my God. But they constantly work on their minds. You don't see Alzheimer's. You don't see degenerative brain diseases.
Really?
And their diets are very simple. It's miso soup, it's fish, it's a little bit of the vegetables. They grow most of their own food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But that's all changed in the last few years because of Fukushima. And now we're seeing a massive deterioration in the population, and the health population of Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just that's just part of the course, I suppose.
That's amazing.
But even though that's the case, they're still living longer and they're still healthier than the average European.
Oh, wow.
So there's a lot to be said for not shutting yourself off. And one of the problems is, have you ever been to Disneyland at all?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, have you been recently?
No, not me.
Don't go because you'll be walking lines and the kids are on their cell phones and iPads.
Yes. Missing the whole experience.
They're not seeing anything.
Oh, tragic. So sad. We talk about that all the time because, I that's really sad to me. That
Why
our
is
society.
You can't just see that this is just. Something you have to just set a boundary about.
I'll tell
you
because
set a boundary on everything.
Yeah. As a parent of young kids, it's just it's easy. And I'm not saying I do it all the time, but it's just that they will be quiet and cooperative, so it's easy. But I think people get too lazy with it. Mm. Yeah,
well, kids ask too many questions, and that's one of the problems. They say they'll say, "Oh my God, my son is asking so many questions." But the questions is the learning process. So by the time these kids get to school, they're not really curious anymore. They're not really searching. I remember, I don't know how many times I fell out of a tree as a kid. I don't know how many times I did things I wasn't supposed to do. But that experience taught me a lot about life.
Sure,
yeah.
And I think we need to understand that we need to interact. But communities, if you're in a football team, if you're part of something, if you're being social, if you're a dancer, if you're a musician, if you're singing along those lines, your health is more likely to be better than someone that only focuses in one area, and that's just making money.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work.
I believe it.
Yeah,
I'm telling you,
that's true.
We're going to go out bar hopping tonight.
I think I might need to before the exam.
Can I come? Because I see spirits.
Yes,
might be tequila and margaritas, but I'll
that's really funny. We adore you
with us. Yes.
And we want to know if you feel comfortable, if you could do a reading on whoever you feel or both or whatever.
Well, the first person I'm going to read is you, Kelly, because one of the things that I'm seeing is, first of all, congratulations for tomorrow because it's going to go really well.
You're so sweet. Thank you.
But you being a therapist mm-hmm. is more important than you realize. It's almost like it's a soul journey for you.
Mm.
So this whole thing that you've allowed yourself to become involved in, it's almost as though you know there's a bigger plan.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to children especially, I think the psychology of a child is very important to you, and you want to understand because you're feeling the same as me,
mm-hmm.
and you're really concerned about where children are going.
Yeah.
So that's your life is going to be based very much around that. And I think one of the things that I've seen the last couple of years is a massive suicide rate. I mean, it's increased dramatically. But I'm also seeing what I consider to be lost souls. These are talented young men and women that just need some guidance
mm-hmm.
to show them that they could be a top model, they could be a dancer, or they could be a musician, or they could be the next scientist. And I think your role is going to be an instigator to get people to use their minds and their imaginations.
Oh, I love that.
And I mean, that's the best reading. But I'm also seeing a lot behind you as well.
Okay.
You had to do an awful lot to get here.
Uh-huh.
And you should never worry about money.
Okay.
Because money is the one thing that can scare everything about you. It's like a responsibility.
Sure.
And it comes from a family situation mm-hmm. where money was really important. So there's a battle that goes on with you mm-hmm. with, don't need it. And the other part is, we have to have it.
Sure.
So it's this constant backwards mm-hmm. and forwards. But you need to meditate more because your mind has to be kept calm because you're constantly receiving information.
Yes.
And if you don't calm your mind down, it's going to be so full. It's going to be like a computer. It'll still work, mm-hmm. but it won't be able to take any more on because it won't be able to absorb. And that's one of the issues, I think, that you need to be aware of.
Sure. I think you just got permission to do more shopping also, right? I'm fine. Don't worry about money.
Exactly. So I'm good with that.
Hey, there's no problem with that. Yes,
like direct line to the husband. Tell him this.
So, yeah. Hubby, if you're listening, and she needs shopping.
Exactly.
Shopping therapy.
Okay. So,
but I think on the whole, one of the things you have to be really aware of is nutrition. And I think that it's not so much having a lot of nutrition, but you need to be more balanced. I don't know whether you've been skipping meals or whether you've just been snacking.
Okay.
That doesn't work for you. You have to have good, solid meals.
Okay.
They have to be big meals, but you need that nutrition.
Sure.
And I would suggest doing smoothies and things to kind of boost yourself up, especially for tomorrow, because you're going to need a little bit extra sugar. Your sugar's low right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but I can see that imbalance there.
Really? Okay.
You also have a neck issue going on. I'm not sure what that's about.
Oh, my God. I'm flipping out.
Sorry. What happened with your neck? What's going on?
I got in a car accident
One. I see two. Did you get in two car accidents?
No, I just got in. Well, I mean, this most recent one, it might have been years ago before, but yeah,
like,
my neck
like 12
was,
years ago, did you also have like a little bump where you whipped your neck?
Because that's so funny.
I see two.
Really? Okay, yeah. I'll have to think about the 12 years ago.
You got two whiplashes.
But yes, this hit me, it affected me so much, and the girl wasn't even going that fast, but did I feel that for 3 days.
Shall I show you where it is?
Yes.
Okay, one second.
This is so cool.
It's just...
Yes.
Just in there.
Oh, my God. I'm flipping out.
So how would you like me to change that and make that flow a bit better?
Yes.
Come bring your chair
Do
up
anything.
A little bit. Okay.
Oh, I wish everybody could see this.
I know.
I don't know
so
what's
cool.
going
to
happen.
You have to describe. You want me to?
Okay. So,
am I close enough?
So, yeah. Tell me how
He's
much
He's pulling
pressure.
Her closer to him.
Okay. Okay. Husband, if you're listening, or just hearing that.
It's
okay.
All platonic.
Okay.
So, hand is on the neck.
Besides having cold hands, how much pressure am I applying?
A little bit, not too much.
So the one thing about healers is the hands don't get warm, they get cold.
I do feel a little cold.
So what happens is the energy, it's almost like it's not me. If your hands are getting warm, you're transferring heat from yourself to the person. When your hands are getting cold, you're actually transferring energy. That's why my hands have suddenly gone cold.
Oh, interesting.
So what I'm going to do right now, I'm just going to put a little bit of pressure on.
And okay.
How would you describe the pressure right now? It's comfortable, yes?
Yeah, okay. Not bad.
Now tell me when you start to feel something.
Okay.
He's now starting
I can do
to
do this all day.
Her.
It feels good.
Okay. What do you feel now?
Same.
Okay. What about now?
Feels a little like pulsating a little bit.
Okay, a little vibration. So what I'm doing, I'm very slowly increasing the energy in that area. I'm getting flow. And right now I'm in C3. And I'm just moving up into C2 as well.
Okay.
And what I'm going to do, I'm going to release the energy. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and release. Now move your neck and tell me how that feels.
I feel good. I felt like I'm still not even over the vibration.
Yeah.
felt like one of those like neck massagers type of things.
Uh-huh.
Like that's what it felt like. But yeah, I mean
But no
hit.
Pressure. You see, the thing about it is people think you've got to force the body.
Yes.
You give the body permission. Energy is not about forcing it. It's about allowing it. So if you want to change a person's opinion, if you yell at them and scream at them, they're not going to change.
Yeah.
But if you persuade them that they need to be act better, it works better. So what I do is when I'm working with the body, instead of trying to make it do something, I get permission from the body. So do you notice you seem a little bit taller and your breathing's got better as well?
Yes.
Because this was stopping you breathing. So last night you didn't get much sleep because you couldn't breathe.
This is fantastic.
Wow.
So that's amazing.
You need to see a chiropractor once a week. You need acupuncture and you need good nutrition. Those three things, you'll live to be 102. So, or longer. So Deborah, coming over to you right now, your circulation is a little out right now and I'm not sure why, but that's normally linked into the liver. So I would go and see somebody doing Chinese medicine, if you don't already do that, and get an assessment. So they look at the iridology, they can check your eyes, they can check your tongue. And what they'll probably do is balance the chi in your body. So you're exhausted. Your adrenals are burnt out because you're running at a tremendous pace.
Mm-hmm.
But you've also taken on the energy of other people. So you must have had some very difficult clients lately.
Oh my gosh.
So
that's so funny.
What I'm going to do, this particular woman that I don't like in your energy field, do I have your permission to come over and take her out?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh my God.
It's going to be a little bit weird. Are you okay with it?
Uh-huh.
All right, I'm coming over.
I'm a little nervous.
Oh, my God, this is so
okay.
Cool.
So what I'm doing, just relax.
Okay. So Andre's coming over to Deborah now.
Okay.
She's closing her eyes.
So what I'm doing, I'm going to place my hands on your shoulders just here very lightly. Okay.
He's putting her hand on his shoulders.
What I want you to do is take a nice deep breath, hold it, and breathe out. Now, the next breath, you're going to breathe in through your mouth and out through your nose 3 times.
So she's taking some deep breaths while his hands are on her shoulders.
An opposite way of breathing.
Mm-hmm. Complete reverse. Just one more.
She looks pretty relaxed.
And just relax. Now, I'm going to place my hand very gently on your head. Just very, very gently. Now, I'm going to start to remove something, okay? So I just want you just to not try to help me, because you're trying to help me. Stop it. Just relax.
Deborah's trying to take over.
She's such a control.
Yes! That's so funny.
I've never been called that before.
Well, it's always the first time. Okay, so I'm going to release. And I'm going to do it. I'm just going to very gently move this hand out of the way. And I'm moving for just solar plexus, just very gently, just to sort of clean that out. And I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, release.
Wow.
Just relax.
She opened her eyes very suddenly.
I felt like something went into my throat and threw it out.
Interesting.
So now, listen to your voice. That woman was strangling you.
Oh, my God.
It was almost like she was choking you. Mm-hmm. So I took that away. I also took away two men as well that were just like angry, angry, angry.
Oh, my God. That's
so
amazing.
So what's happening right now, not only have I changed that, I've also changed the way the filters work around you. So no one can get back in again. What happened is, probably a few months ago, you were in a session and you let down your guard, which is normally very defensive. So you let down your guard, and by letting down your guard, you allowed this stuff to come in. So now I've just changed it, so it's a clear out. Mm. The next 7 days, you're going to feel stuff clearing out of you.
Wow.
Plenty of greens, plenty of water, any kind of detoxification you want to do. But the liver is already starting to improve. I'm seeing it straight away. I can see it can actually change it. And you should feel a little bit flushed right now, because you're getting more oxygen in the body and your blood's circulating better.
Mm, this is amazing.
It is.
I can't
it
believe
is.
That was...
Now, so these are current people in my life.
It's some from the past. I think it's because just people that have been around you that you've tried to fix or tried to help.
Uh-huh.
And it's just the abuse from them. It's just mm-hmm. what they've thrown back at you.
Mm-hmm.
And because you're a good person, you've taken that away from them and held it and not released it.
Yes.
And what you used to do in the past, you would take energy on, but you'd always release it. But you haven't had time to release it. So you've kind of got overfilled. So, you know, for you, anything that you find that really releases for you, I would suggest a nice bar with a good margarita. Hawaii, I already said that to somebody the other day, and this girl has not let me forget that.
It's funny.
But it's something where you need a break. And
uh-huh.
I mean, a serious break. My idea for you would just take you on a cruise somewhere.
The river cruise.
Yeah. I just started looking into planning a river cruise.
I can't believe you said that.
I must be psychic.
We literally had this conversation yesterday. She was like, I'm thinking about a river cruise. And I'm like, you need to do it. You need it of all people. So now you have permission.
He's
going to fund it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? Yeah, but it's seriously, when you get away, the first 3 days of you getting away, you're not going to feel good. And you're going to feel like, why am I here? I feel sick. But you've got to detoxify. And then by the end of that week, or hopefully 2 weeks, you're going to feel like a brand new person. And if you take a picture before, on the first couple of days, and you take a picture afterwards, you've gone back 10 years. You'll be so youthful again. But if you continue...
I like this program.
I know, right?
But if you don't have a break with your adrenals the way they are, and especially the lymphatic system right now, and the swelling, especially on that right side underneath here, there's a lot of swelling in the lymphatics. You had any pain or any soreness on this side
sometimes
at all?
Sometimes. How do you see that?
It's called magic. but I can see the energy around here. I don't like that. Because
what color is it?
Well, right now it's kind of a purpley color. That's okay. Oh. When it goes a darker color, it's not so good because you're not draining properly.
Does that mean I have cancer?
No. But it could be a precursor to something like that, or it could just be a precursor to a complete crash of your adrenal system.
Okay.
So we just need to make sure that we keep this area clear, and you're aware of it because your body's been telling you, mm-hmm. but you haven't been listening.
This is pretty amazing.
Yes.
Okay. This is amazing. Oh,
you should see me at parties.
I bet. It's great, especially after
so cool.
a margarita,
so you could,
right?
So you see the energy visually in a color.
I see. So I'm one of the weird ones. I'm an intuitive,
yeah.
but I'm also a healer, and I'm also a medium. So the medium, I'm at the most world's most reluctant medium because I don't see spirits. I see people. So the other day, we're down at Paradise Beach and Paradise Cove, and
mm-hmm.
I'm eating, and there's a gentleman comes in, and there's a woman standing behind him for the whole time. I'm like, well, that's rude. Why is she standing there? His wife had just passed away.
No.
But she was full form. It wasn't a ghost. It was just a woman standing there. She's looking at me, and she wasn't saying
anything.
But there
was not a real person there. You could just see this actual...
And how I realized is the waitress walked straight through her.
Oh, my God.
And at that time, I almost spat my smoothie over the person next to me, which wouldn't have been a good experience. But it's I just became a medium probably when I was like 25. It just suddenly happened.
Wow.
But I didn't know. So I was seeing all these new people. I didn't know they were ghosts.
This is incredible. Oh, yeah. My God.
That is incredible.
It's a gift and a curse.
Can you see anybody around us?
Right now, no. But there was somebody earlier on. It was a lady around Kelly when we first came in, and she's a grandmother, and she was really loving. And she when you were talking about the tomorrow, she's there with you.
Oh my God, that's my grandma.
Yeah, and she was like, but she's a bit of a spicy lady, because she was kind of like she was flirting with me.
That's her. That is kind of her.
And she was also telling me about education.
Oh really?
She was very education was very important to her. Uh-huh. I don't think she had a chance to really do what she wanted to do.
That makes sense.
But she showed me crayons and pencils and paintbrushes, which means something to do with painting or drawing.
Yes.
Was that her?
She loved calligraphy, and my mom ended up being a calligrapher, but she wanted to do that.
She's worried about your mom.
Is she?
Yeah. Is your mom being really tired recently?
Well, she's in New York now. She's kind of a full speed ahead type of person also.
Yeah, what she's saying about your mom is that your mom is like, she's eating too much carbohydrate. She's eating too much of the bad food.
I can see that.
And your mom knows better. But your mom's very book smart. Uh-huh. So the only way to reach your mom is to buy a book on nutrition and send it to her. Don't try and tell your mom to do anything because she will not listen to you.
I was just going to say, I'll call her. And then I'm like, okay.
Send her a book.
Yeah, what about the Nutrition Twins book?
Oh, yeah. I could do that. We had a guest on.
It's really simple. Yeah. Great recipes. Really easy. Even Kelly was able to make one.
Which is pretty amazing. That's so great. I'm so glad you saw her.
I know it seems really unusual what I'm doing, but I believe that throughout history, every single tribe had a shaman or a rabbi or a priest that had these abilities. But we killed a lot of them off many years ago, so there's not that many left. So I think there's nothing unusual about what I do. It's just that I'm one of the few people left that still has this ability.
That's amazing.
It's incredible.
Have you ever actually diagnosed somebody who had like a medical condition that they were unaware of that you were able to see?
All the time, every day. Oh. I'm the last resort, so the hospitals will often send people to me, normally children when there's nowhere else to go. Mm. So, and these are some of the major hospitals. It's not a job I really enjoy, and with children, I don't charge. I mean, I see them to help them.
Sure.
But my main goal is prevention, so I try to get people in and talk about things before they actually happen. Because when a person suddenly realizes I can do what I can do, they go, oh my God, there's a whole world out there.
Yes.
And young people especially, they suddenly change. They start looking at the trees. They start noticing things more. So I just try to get people to be more aware and pay more attention to things.
That's beautiful.
This is absolutely fantastic. I'm like in awe. My mouth is to the ground.
how do you release when you are around people who have negative energy? What do you do?
Well, first of all, I have hope for everybody. So it doesn't matter how bad your life is and how evil you are, what you've done. I believe there's a beautiful person inside of you. So what I try to do is I don't judge. And I think most of the stress comes from judgment because you want to fix somebody a lot of the time. So I don't fix people. I give them the tools. Once I work on your body, all I'm doing is allowing things to flow. It's your body fixing itself. It's just being given permission to heal.
Oh.
So it's the same with the mind. If you find something good in a person and show them that, often they'll heal themselves. And it's in psychology, which is really good. Psychology is really important because you get people to talk, and that in that conversation, you find the tools. You can't walk in the room and go, you need this, this, and this.
Sure.
It's a process of understanding and learning
and
for both the therapist and the person in front of you. And then as you guys both know, and then all of a sudden this miracle happens, and one day they walk in and they see the lights go on, and I think we all live for smiles, and I live for smiles. So when I see that smile come over a person's face, it's that kind of like, I don't need you anymore, Andre. I'm like, yes,
you've done your work. But do you ever feel burdened, like you're at a party and you tell people and they're like, oh my God, read me. Are you ever like, I just want a break, like leave me be?
Well, it depends on what you say at parties. Sometimes people say, what do you do for a living? And I say, I'm a plumber. And they look at you, but once in a while, somebody will go, well, I had this hot water tank.
Oh, this is so funny. That's great.
Well, we always get you read my mind? I mean, if you have somebody who's kind of closed off and you say you're a psychologist or a therapist.
That surprises me. that I know when you tell me the story every time, I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, no, people get really nervous that somehow you know what they're thinking. And I'm like, no, that would be your job.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Can you imagine when I walk in the room and you say, I see dead people? The room scatters.
Really?
There's two types of people.
I was just going to say, I'm the type that would like gravitate.
Me
but I
too.
Guess there's people that run.
I
guess, yeah, there's people that run.
But it's not just with people, with animals as well. Horses is one of my specialities, but with cats and dogs, there's a certain affinity and a connection there. And it's very strange. I think that people don't realize how important having a pet in your life really is.
Oh. Well, so, this one, she birthed her only vaginal birth.
My only vaginal birth is my dog. One was from via C-section, one was from a surrogate. So my dog is my only vaginal birth, and I'm not kidding. He's 11. He is the love of my life. If it was legal to marry him, I would, and I'm not even kidding.
What kind of dog?
A Whippet.
A Whippet. Oh,
he's so
wow.
sweet.
He is. That's a good British dog.
Yes, exactly. Oh, yes, because they're from England. Yes, you
so
get it.
We have a Labrador Healer mix. And she's 15 now, but she is a princess. And let me tell you, she knows how to work me really well. She's just like, she doesn't know. We try not to use the words. We started spelling things out. Well, she's learned to spell.
That's so.
We can't win.
W-A-L-K, right, exactly.
And I'm the cat lady. I love my kitties.
Oh, you
want to hear a sad story?
What?
The other day, I think it was it Sunday morning? I was taking a walk in the neighborhood, and there was this lady, and she was holding her black and white cat, and I have black and whites. And she was, you know, visibly distraught, and she was holding the cat, and the cat was clearly old and sickly.
Sure.
And I said, are you okay? And she said, she just starts to cry, and she says, I have to put him down today.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So we both held the cat and cuddled the cat and both cried together because I know that feeling and how awful it was. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of those beautiful, touching moments. I know that she felt some sense of like, oh, people do care. And
sure.
It was really sweet.
I'm a cat poor person. I have a friend, Jackson Galaxy, Minu, the No Mitra, it's all the family there.
Mm-hmm.
He's done so much for cats. Mm. He's the cat whisperer, basically.
Oh.
Amazing guy. But we just lost Luke beginning of the year, our cat. We came home and he had a stroke, and it was one of the saddest things.
Yes.
But we still feel him around. And the good thing about being a medium is, you're not worried about death because you know you never leave, but there are some people I wish they'd leave me alone. Let me tell you.
Really?
There's some relatives.
Pesty spirits.
Oh, yeah. They want to tell me everything.
No way.
But look at your grandmother. She was flirting with me.
She's a talker.
She's a grandmother. And she's smart. She was like, I could feel. I'm like, no, you know.
I'm good.
Yeah, but she made herself look younger because when you're on the other side, you can be whatever age you want to be.
Oh my God.
So she was pretty hot, let me tell you.
This is
nice
so...
Nice legs.
Yes.
Sorry, I know it's your grandma.
No, that's cool. I like that. She'd be happy.
Great.
She did. She really like had a good upkeep, I have to say.
Oh, so. Yeah. She knows how to work the men. She was working me
that
pretty
is
hard.
So
that is
funny.
So funny.
I love that.
And she loved lilacs.
Oh yes, I remember you saying that last time, and I have to, and I totally can see that because she really loved purple. Lilacs are purple, right? It's like
because I can smell lilacs again because she's laughing right now, so I can smell the lilacs around me again.
Oh my God, that's so
But
fun.
Can you imagine? This is a gift and a curse because it's a wonderful gift, but you see everything, so you have to live your life to the fullest. I have to kind of practice what I preach, and one of the things I say to people is, do not be perfect. Be a vegetarian, you know, enjoy good food, be healthy, and do good things. But if you try to aim for perfectionism, you won't learn lessons.
Yes.
So I still have a beer with my friends, and I still do those things, and I hang out. But when I find somebody I believe in, there's a friend of mine, Jim, incredible man. I only met him recently, but there's something about this guy that when you're around him, he has so much talent and he has so much power that just being with him, he inspires you.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of people I like around me. It's not how you look.
Sure.
It's who you are that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So,
I have that. I think I have that sense. Like somebody can call me on the phone, like a new person, and I write like within a split second, I already know this is not going to be someone I'm going to want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You just know. It's like
I just know it. It's right there.
Yes.
Right there.
So that's your strength and your weakness, your solar plexus.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to protect this little baby in here.
She does. Yeah. She needs to hear this especially. She's the most compassionate person I know. And so I think that is a blessing and a curse, you know, to be so compassionate because she takes on people's energy.
Well, you're an angel. And, you know, the angels today, we have a bigger burden than ever before. Because our role in the world is to go out and make people feel good and make people's lives better.
Uh-huh.
And people don't always want that.
No.
You know, to me, health is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. But to some of my clients, that next Maserati or that new clothes is more important. They will destroy themselves to get things that aren't important.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
It's a choice.
Yeah, sure.
But I, my idea of the perfect day was like on Sunday, on the beach, listening to children to laugh, watching the pelicans fly by. Mm-hmm. And you know how many people live in L.A. and don't get down to the beaches?
It's true.
I know.
It's so true.
Sometimes I'm so mad at myself, too. It's like, I live 30 minutes from the beach.
I know.
It's ridiculous, Deborah, to not be there.
You got beach time.
Exactly. Well, but I did work in Malibu for 5 years, so I was going out there several times.
So tell us the hot spots. Where do we go in Malibu to have fun?
To have fun? You mean in terms of nightlife? Nothing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's pretty dead, right?
Malibu's like a 13-mile...
But they have great restaurants. Yeah,
yes.
great restaurants right on the water. Nobu, yeah, that sushi place. It's great.
There's Duke's. You went to the Paradise Cove, right? Did you go to that?
I love that place. It's my sanctuary. It's where I go.
Oh, there's a beautiful, elegant restaurant called Joffrey's.
Oh, yes. I went there.
Oh,
it's delicious.
On the way down to Paradise, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And that one is very elegant. It's very lovely. It's worth a drink. It's worth an appetizer or a full dinner. It's very pretty.
Oh, dear. I'm going to go there now.
But
that's
my
it.
Friends from the East Coast constantly remind me. So I get that reminder, like, you are so lucky. You're so close to the beach. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like, you get that reminder because, when you're on the East Coast, I mean, I was like 3.5 hours from the beach in Maryland. So it's like, it was a weekend. Like, you had to really hear. It's like,
there's no excuse.
No,
you're moving here from
Scottsdale? I'm going to be around a lot. Ishan, the gentleman who's with us right now, hiding in the back of the studio, he's taking over the management side of things. He's going to be taking care of some of the business for me over here.
Beautiful.
But he's also, as you can see, he's really good looking. He's an actor. He's a model. He's got it all going on. So, and he's tall. So when I go in, I've been wearing these heels, but it doesn't work. So if I stand 10 feet away from him, I look about the same size.
That's really funny.
So cute.
But the reason I'm coming out here is I've been pulled out. Since we last talked on the show, there's been a tremendous pull for me to come out to LA.
Wow.
And I'm meeting everybody. All of a sudden, all these people are just lining up for me. And it's like, I have to be here.
Mm-hmm,
I think I have to be here because we have all the talent. People misunderstand Los Angeles. They think it's a crazy city. It's a city full of very unique people, very talented people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're losing that. They're losing their inspiration. And people are leaving because it's expensive to be here.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So my hope is I can come out and find these animators and these dancers and these beautiful musicians and inspire them. And then one day I'll be watching TV and I go, oh, I know that person.
Right, exactly.
I didn't make them or help them. I just know them. And I was lucky enough to spend a few minutes in their lives to make a difference.
Beautiful.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know that. You're the same as me, Deborah. exactly the same
similar,
as me.
Similar. Yes.
You care about people.
She really does.
I do. Yeah. Sometimes too. A degree that shouldn't be.
Yes. But you got to listen to him.
I am.
Okay, good. And I want a vacation for you, young lady.
I will be planning it.
So I have a question for you. And we have all these people out here. What do we need to create for these kids? Do we need like a community center, or do we need, what do they need? What do you're here more than I am. What do these kids need?
So I'm a big one for nature, and I feel like so many of our kids now, it's just like in the classroom and the sort of, so I don't know, maybe not more nature stuff. Or
wouldn't it be great if school programs like did a weekly nature walk with the students, take them out to actually to nature for the day, and they can do their studies or do whatever
outside
in the open like we used to at school.
Yes.
We said that one day, I think it was a Thursday, and all the kids would go outside. But in England, it didn't matter whether it was raining, snowing. Our teacher was a little different, but we'd go out and it was we had these little benches, and then they'd give us arts and crafts, but we'd have to find things, leaves and twigs, and make pictures of them. I mean, gosh, that was years ago, but I still remember it.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing? I don't remember my algebra very well, but I remember that.
Because that had an impact. Well, and my son's school now, they're doing animal-assisted therapy.
That's beautiful.
So isn't that great?
Yes.
So they're teaching social skills with the animals. So I love that, too.
What school is that?
Isn't that amazing? It's at Carpenter in Studio City.
She's near here.
Yeah. Hey, folks out there, come to Studio City. If you've got kids, send them there.
It's a great school. But I love alternative programs like that, because not all schools have that, and they also have dance and
things. They call these alternative programs, but these are actually common sense programs.
right
it's
exactly
like they're, we do this, but no, this is the way it should be done.
Sure.
This is how we used to learn. People forget that the summer holidays originally came around because of the farming, and that was for the harvest and so on and so forth. I don't see many kids harvesting.
No. But I'm lucky if my kid brings my dish to the sink. I mean, come on, harvest.
Yeah, we all know that one.
Yeah. Right?
Do you have children?
Yeah, I've got a son. Yeah.
Oh.
How old is he?
He's 25 going on 50.
Oh, okay.
Does he have the gift too?
Yeah, it's a different gift. He works for the British Embassy here in Los Angeles.
Oh, cool.
And super smart, an amazing guy. He's headed back to Arizona for a while. He's realigning himself. But yeah, but he's a pianist.
Very cool.
Oh, neat.
He taught himself, and what he would do, he'd listen to music and then remember it and play it back pitch perfect.
Wow, that's so impressive.
And I can't play a single thing. I'm gifted in so many ways, but give me an instrument and all I do is make strange sounds. So
it's so cool when you recognize people's gifts. Like, it's just absolutely such a cool thing that everybody has it in different ways, and everybody else thinks that the other person's gift is amazing and things like that.
You know, we are all gifted, right?
True.
We're all uniquely human. It's beautiful.
Nobody, if we're all the same, it would be really boring. And
I
can't paint or draw like some of these people that I see, or Ishan's an amazing musician, a songwriter. I can't do any of that. But I think it's when we're all together, the intuitives, the psychologists, the other people with other talents, it's a group, it's a beautiful harmony. And I think that, can you imagine spending a week with a bunch of psychologists?
No.
Can you imagine spending a week with a bunch of psychics?
No, exactly. Yeah.
So or a bunch of psychics and psychologists together.
That would be so
actually
funny.
We'd have fun.
We would.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Especially with your
I know what you're really feeling, right?
Yeah, exactly, right.
I can see little bottles of margaritas and things hanging around.
That's so cool. So, okay, and then another question for you is, do you ever get stuff and you wonder, should I not say this because I don't want to scare the person?
I have a rule, unless the person's giving me permission, and that could be as simple as just looking at me, I don't cross that boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very hard. There was an example, I was flying recently, and there was a gentleman sitting in front of me with his young girlfriend, and I could see that he was abusing her, and I could see all these different things.
Wow.
But that is because of the rules that I follow, I can't say anything because that... She has to find out for herself.
Right.
Mm.
And the example I give is Oprah Winfrey. She was abused. She went through horrible things as a child. Mm-hmm. And if you'd rescued her then, she might not be the person she is today.
Mm-hmm.
So some people have to go through certain things to become great. So it's not for us to know what God's rule is. We just have to kind of pay attention. But if we are instigated to see it, we should do something. For instance, another good example is I saw a gentleman trying to get a girl into a car. And even though I wasn't involved, went straight over and took a picture on the way over. The guy got the girl away and then called the police. So, you know, these are the things that... This was in Ontario.
Uh-huh.
So these are the things you have to do.
Uh-huh.
So there are certain things where if there's real danger there, you have to step in.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't.
No, I know.
I've seen... There was a lady that was knocked down the street, actually, just not far from here. And I stopped the car and jumped out, and people were just driving.
Mm.
She tripped and fallen and got hit by a car.
No.
And this was like a couple of years ago, and nobody was stopping. And, of course, me jumped out and almost got hit myself.
But it's the
need to be involved? You guys would be exactly the same as me. You'd be the first ones on scene.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Always doing that. I put myself in really bad, dangerous positions to help other people. Not so smart sometimes.
Right.
But I like you, Deborah.
That's so cute.
Yeah,
I do have a bit of a reckless abandonment to me.
Yeah, sure.
Tell you about my Houston story?
No, what happened?
No.
I am just an idiot sometimes. I was on book tour, and I went to this hotel, and I thought staying in downtown Houston was going to be fun, like it would have some sort of nightlife, and I'm by myself, and I'm thinking, oh, dead, like deader than dead, like nothing there. I'm like, all right, well, you know, there's not even a place I can get a glass of wine. So I thought, I'll just go to find a store down the street and get a little bottle and have a glass or so. I can relax. I just start walking. And sometimes I'm just oblivious. The next thing you know, I am in Crackville, like literally in Houston by myself in Crackville.
Oh,
people with, you know, needles on the streets. I'm like, how the hell did I get here? And what was I thinking?
Oh,
I wasn't obviously thinking.
Yeah.
So then I went, I think I'm just going to turn around and go back. And then I was probably walking at the fastest pace I've ever walked at. Thankfully, I didn't have a purse or anything, but I was really scared.
Sure.
This was dumb. And I was a full-fledged adult. I mean, I really can't blame this on just being
And this was before the wine.
What's that?
Before the wine.
Before the wine.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I needed the wine just to get over the experience.
I get it.
Thankfully, nothing happened, but...
But probably your awareness is what saved you, because a lot of people wouldn't even notice.
Sure.
I've seen people walk through situations that are very dangerous.
Yes.
And I think that certain level of awareness, like, okay, time to turn around.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And maybe 30 seconds on, if you hadn't turned around, it would have been a different story.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my, okay, so we're almost out of time.
We only have like a minute and a half left. Can you believe it?
I cannot believe
it. Quick.
So quick.
So tell us,
yes, and tell us where we can find you and different things you're doing now.
Well, people find me, the way to find me is just to look for Andre, O-N-D-R-E, at andre.com. And if you're meant to see me, you will. I'm very hard. I don't advertise myself very well. I let people find me.
Mm.
And I've got 10,000 clients or something around the world.
Wow.
But whether I'm in Moscow or London, people know when I'm coming into town.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's the way. You look for Andre, and then you'll find me from there.
And we'll be neighbors. I live in Thousand Oaks.
Oh, really?
Yes, you're in Calabasas. If you don't know the area, I can show you around.
Show me the bars.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And also on Instagram, Find Andre.
And Find Andre. And
yes.
How do people find you guys? Where do we find you on Instagram? Do you have any
You're so cute. Look at him trying to help us and promote us.
No.
You're so sweet.
My people listening as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we have our website, docandtherapist.com.
Yes.
And then we each have our individual websites, which are on that site.
Sure, so. And Twitter, at doctherapist1. We got to get on Instagram, too. Way to get ahead of it.
I'm counting on you for that.
I know.
You're the younger one. You're supposed to be on top. You've got the pulse on that one.
Yeah, I got to get on that.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
This was awesome.
We were talking with Andre Seltzer, a fantastic medical medium, intuitive healer, everything. Thank you very much.
Everybody have a good week. Love you.
And say a prayer that I pass this test.
Yes, for sure. You got it. You already passed it. It's already done.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.